We're here on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, which means we're making some progress. The Daf for today is Nun Ches, and hopefully we'll get to Daf Nun Ches. I don't say we're going to finish Daf Nun Ches, but at least we'll make Haschol. That's my goal for today. Ashkach Rav Yaakov Bar Acha Dahavi Ksiv B'Sefer Agadat Debei Rav. Keep in mind, back in the old days, they didn't publicize Torah in writing, because that you're not allowed to do, but they had private notebooks. And one of those private notebooks was called Sefer Agadita Debei Rav, in the Yeshiva of Rav. Now, 99% of this Sefer consisted of Agadita. But from time to time, Halacha somehow crept into the Agadita. So what we're about to study is that Rav Yaakov Bar Acha discovered it when he was reading this so-called book of Agada, a very important halacha that was taught in Bei Rav, in the Academy of Rav. And by the way, you should know that there are other Midrashe Agadita that have halacha in it from time to time, like the Midrash Rabbah has halacha, Midrash Tanchuma. This is a case of a Sefer Agadita that has halacha in it. What did he find there? Ben Noach Nerag Bidayon Echad Ubeid Echad Shalobasra. Okay, let's go through these three categories first. In the case of Israel, you can only put someone to death in a court and condemn him for a capital punishment if you have 23 Dayonim. In the case of Ben Noach, we mentioned this yesterday, he will be put to death with one judge. Now again, keep in mind, Rabosai, this is a reference to those violations that come under the Ben Noach laws. There are violations that a Ben Noach is chayev for vis-a-vis a Yisrael, and there he could be judged in a Jewish court. And if he's judged in a Jewish court, we're going to see that the Gemara is going to analyze and investigate the possibility that there a whole new set of procedural requirements apply, because that's a Jewish court. But now we're talking about a non-Jewish court.
So how does halacha got anything to do with a non-Jewish court?
Because the halacha is given to Yisrael, but it relates to a Ben Noach as well. Meaning, all the laws that apply to a Ben Noach are given in the Torah. Yes. If a Ben Noach, for example, yes, legislates a law that's not valid according to the halacha, then according to Torah law, that law has no significance.
You're saying that this is a non-Jewish court.
A non-Jewish court, according to our halacha, is bound by the laws of halacha. Again, whether they'll pay attention to it or not, but loss in Lovo, you'll see what's going to happen. I hope, Michael, it's going to happen very, very soon. And the Bnei Noach are going to accept Jewish law. When I say Jewish law, it doesn't mean they're going to convert to Judaism. It means they're going to be committed to observe the halacha, to observe the Jewish law. But Rabosai, what I would like to ask for, just because we're in a bind, and I cannot be held responsible for everything. So if you want to ask me a question of a word or so, then I can try to understand it. But I'm only asking until we get by this bottleneck, if we can somehow move at the speed of light. And again, only because we're behind and I want to catch up with the Daf Yom. So number two, we have Eid Echad. With regard to the Jewish court system relating to Yisraelim, we need two witnesses. Less than two witnesses will not cut the mustard. But with regard to a Ben Noach, he could be condemned to death with the testimony of one person. We'll soon see that person is even a karov, even a brother, could testify to his own brother.
Even a woman.
But we didn't get to a woman yet. We're going to get to a woman. Okay? Shelo basro, and even if the Ben Noach was guilty without a hasra. Now normally we need a hasra, a warning, before a person, in a case of a Jew, commits a crime, otherwise not liable. But that's because we have a difference in Ben Yisrael between a shogeg and a mazid. But with regard to a guy, we're going to assume that even if he claims he's ignorant of the law, ignorance of the law is not a valid claim, and therefore even in the absence of Asra, where we don't know for sure that he knows the law, it's irrelevant. He's responsible to know the law, and he'll be put to death simply because he was in violation of the law. And not only that, an aide could testify in a non-Jewish context to put a benot to death, even if he himself did not witness the crime, but he heard it from someone else. And that's called aid mi pi aid, which is certainly procedurally invalid in the case of Israel. However, lo mi pi isha. However, in the case of an isha,
don't extend it that far, David.
Did I lose myself here?
No.
Okay, so in a case of a ben noach, can a woman be accepted for testimony? And the answer is no. We're going to see how the Gemara derives that later. Vafilu karov, but if it's a male who's testifying, he can testify even on his brother. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omru, af al ha'ubrim, a ben noach is put to death for killing an ubar. And he's going to derive that from a pasuk. The Gemara says, Minali Mili, how do we know all these rulings? On Rabbi Yehuda, the Amakra, the pasuk says, with regard to a ben noach, this is addressed to the bnei noach when they came out of the teva, and it says, ach, this is perek tes, pasuk, hey, okay, for the first time I finally brought a chumash. Ach, es dimchem l'nafshel sechem edrosh miyad kol chay edrosh shen miyad ha'odom miyad ish achiv edrosh et nefesh ha'odom. So the pasuk says that edrosh, and edrosh apparently is written in a lashon yachid. Now, there's a discussion here in the Yad Ramah about why the Gemara feels it's necessary to darshan this pasuk, and the answer is because pasuk hey is completely superfluous. If you take a look at pasuk vav, the pasuk says explicitly regarding a ben noach that shofek dam ha'adam ba'adam tami yishafen, that he's put to death. So what do I need this whole pasuk hey? And the answer is that pasuk hey is coming to darshan. Number one, afilu b'dayin echad. From the fact that the Torah says edrosh, which is in the singular, we see that it's only one single judge. And then the pasuk says, miyad kol chaya. Chaya means a living being. Afilu shelo basro. Why did it say kol chaya? From every living being, I will demand that his punishment be meted out. It means even if he didn't receive asra. And then it says in the pasuk, Edreshena umiyad ha'adam. And what does this mean? Edreshena umiyad ha'adam. Again, using the singular of ha'adam, afilu b'yad echad. Now the b'yad is the one who's responsible for the execution, not the judge who's handing down a verdict, but the one who made it possible for the judge to condemn the accused for death. And that person is called, in the language of the Torah, Ha'adam. And Ha'adam means one single witness. And then the pasuk says, Miyad Ish. And what does this mean, Miyad Ish? The word Ish always is darshan in the Torah to mean velo Miyad Ish. And the word Miyad again refers to the aid, to the witness. So an Isha is therefore disqualified for testimony in a non-Jewish context, meaning even in the dinim of ben noach, just like she's considered psula liedus in Israel. And then it says, achiv. What is the word achiv coming to teach us? Because as we said, every word in this pasuk is superfluous. Afilu karov, even one brother who's testifying against his other brother. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, omru afala ubrim. My time with Shmuel, how does Rabbi Shmuel know from this pasuk that he, the guy, is chai for killing a fetus? And the answer is not from this pasuk, but from the very next pasuk. And what does it say in the very next pasuk? It says, shofech dam ha'odam. Be'odam. Be'odam means a person who's inside an odam, inside another person. Domo yishofech. He will be put to death. Ezu Adam Shahu Be' Adam. What does the Torah mean when it says Adam Be' Adam? It means Heavy Omer. That means Ubar Zo Ubar B'meyei Ima. So I was just thinking, if I saw a non-Jewish physician about to implement an abortion, that would make him into a rodef, and I would be allowed to kill him. Oh yeah, I'm not passing. Tana Kama Tani Tebe Menashe. The first Tana is Tana Tebe Menashe. The Omar Misa Amur L'Bnei Noach Eino Ela Chenek. That with regard to Misa, according to a Tana who follows the view of Tana Tebe Menashe, the punishment, the particular method of implementing the death penalty in the case of Ben Noach is only chenek. Now, we know that that's not true. We know it's saif, but this Tana holds it's chenek. And how does he know chenek? The Gemara says from this very same pasuk vav here in Perek Tes, v'shadilei hai ba'odam ha-seifa dekra. He takes the word ha'odam, I'm sorry, he takes the word ba'od, which according to Rabbi Yishmael was there to derive the killing of a fetus, and he puts it onto the sefer, and he reads it the following way. Udarish Pei, he reads it hachi in this way. Ba'odam damo yishafeh. So not the way we said it before, adam be'adam, which is a reference to a fetus, but rather ba'odam damo yishafeh. And what does that mean, ba'odam? That's going to be a reference to chenek. How do we know that this is a reference to chenek? Ezu shvichas domim shel adam shehu begufo shel adam, which means that on the one hand we're taking his life, that's called shvichas domim, we're taking his life, but on the other hand it is begufo shel adam. Begufo shel adam means that it's inside the body of the person, meaning there's nothing on the outside that is affected. And that's called chenek, because in the case of chenek, it affects the insides of his body, but there's no blood that leaves his body. Yeah, but the only thing is that with regard to Ben Noach, the Gemara assumes that there are only, and the Gemara is going to derive this from Psukim, that there are only two possible methods of putting him to death. It's either Saif or Chenek. Those were the only two misos that were given to a Ben Noach. And if we can exclude Saif, then by process of elimination, we can assume that he is going to be killed by Chenek. If you take a look here in the second paragraph, in footnote number 13, he says the following. He says that the Brice above on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph had mentioned that in all cases of violating Ben Noach, the Misa is Saif. This Brisa rejects that view, because this is the Tana of the Bei Menashe. And they agree that although the word Ba'adam in this Pasuk has to be interpreted, but it should be interpreted not as Tana de Bei Menashe as being linked up with the second part of the Pasuk, but that rather with the first part of the Pasuk, and therefore there's no Misa of chenek with regard to Ben Noach. Moses Rav Hanuna, the isha lo mifkida. Are you telling me that a woman cannot be part of the judicial system in the case of a Ben Noach? Which means that since this pasuk is referring both to judges and to edim, that it means that she's excluded from mishpat. Again, she could be judged and tried, but she cannot be the judge or the witness that will condemn the accused to death. Says the Gemara, that's not so, because with regard to Ben Noach, we have another parasha in the Torah, parashas Vayera, that addresses itself to Avraham Avinu, and there the word Mishpat appears. V'aksiv ki yedativ l'man asher yitzav esbodav esnei lasos stoka u Mishpat, and the word Mishpat is referring to the entire judiciary process as it was given to a Ben Noach, because Avraham Avinu's status is that of a Ben Noach, as we've discussed in the past. And there it says, Esbonav v'es beso acharov. So if you're looking at the pasuk, which is quoted here in the bottom, you'll underline the word beso, because Chazal understand that the word beso is always a reference to Ishto. So we have beso and mishpat in the same pasuk referring to a Ben Noach. And beso refers to a woman. The Gemara says, "Who Moses love, who Mafarik la?" He asked the question, Rav Hamnuna, and he answered the question. Banav lidin, beso litztaka. That in the pasuk it says both tztaka and mishpat. It also says both banav and beso. And he's going to sort of switch the order around. He's going to say the word mishpat, which is a judiciary process, that's reference to banav, to the male members of Bnei Noach. But the word tztaka that appears earlier, that's a reference to beso. That's a reference to a woman. So that a woman is now included under tztaka. And here we have a machlokes, exactly what tztaka means over here. And a woman is included, a bas noach is included in tztaka. If you take a look, he quotes here that Rashi is of one opinion and the Meshech Chachma quotes a different opinion. According to Meshech Chachma, the word tztaka, and he quotes the Yad Ramah, is a reference to charity. So in other words, charity is included in the mitzvahs of Ben Noach. And this makes sense because the Pasuk in Yechezkel says that the people of Sodom were condemned to death because they weren't involved in giving tztaka. But on the other hand, this is very problematic because amongst the Bnei Noach laws, we don't find positive commandments, we only find losases. So to say that a guy is obligated in charity, although that is the opinion of the Yad Ramah, that's a little bit problematic to say the least. Rashi, on the other hand, says that tztaka together with mishpat has to be understood in the same context. And he says the following, that men and women in Abraham's household, and that's a reference to Bnei Noach, were each commanded in one of the acts mentioned at the end of the verse. The men were commanded to carry out justice, while the women were commanded to act righteously in arranging compromises between people in dispute. Now this is a reference to a sugya at the very beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, which hopefully you covered, that's on Daf Vav. And there the Gemara says that there's something called Din or Mishpat, and then there's something called Pshara. And Pshara is not exactly Din. For example, it could be that there are different regulations that apply to Pshara. In this case, in Ibn Noach, Rashi is telling us that an Isha could preside, is that a word in English? Preside? Preside over a decision to effectuate a compromise. That's called tzedakah. She cannot be a judge to preside over mishpat, which means the strict letter of the law in a lawsuit, but she can effectuate a valid pshara. That's Rashi Shita. So according to Rashi, we're not talking about adding another mitzvah to Bnei Noach and saying that a woman is chayeves in tztaka because she's a bas noach and she's included under the law of tztaka, basal tztaka, but rather, in terms of the judiciary process, she does have some sort of role to play, and that is to effectuate a pshara. Amalei Rav Avya Saba, l'Rav Papa, ema bas noach shaharga lo tehareg. Is it possible now to say that when we get to this pasuk that we're darshaning, pasuk vav here in Perek Tes, and the entire pasuk is superfluous, that it says that we put to death a person who's called shofech dam ha'odom, the odom, that's the case of Ritzicha, and it says in the pasuk, ach es dimchem l'afshachsechem edrosh miyad ish, only from a male murderer. But in the case of a female bas noach who executed someone, she would not be put to death. Why? Because it says miyad ish velo miyad isha, and the Gemara doesn't appreciate this possibility. The question is, it does seem to be indicated by the pasuk because miyad ish means we're going to put to death the ish for itzicha, but not an isha. Amar leiser, a papa responded, hachi amar Rabbi Yehuda. This is what I heard from Rabbi Yehuda. Shofech dam ha'odam. Since the Torah opens up the discussion of damo yishofech and pasuk vav with shofech dam ha'odam ba'odam, the word odam as opposed to ish includes even an isha. So it doesn't matter whether the murderer is male or female, mikol makom, in any event, that murderer will be put to death. And therefore, we're going to learn that the word ish here in this pasuk is not coming to exclude a bas noach who killed someone. She's included in the chiyuv misa, but rather to exclude the isha from the judiciary process, as we discussed earlier. So the Gemara now goes back and raises a question on Rav Papa. This is again Rav Avia speaking. Ema bas noach shezimsa lo tehareg. But what about a pasuk going back to Adam Arishon, where the case of Gili Arayos is derived from the pasuk Al Kain Yazov Ish Es Aviv Imo V'Dovak B'Ishto, which is addressed, is a pasuk that's addressing Adam Arishon, and the pasuk went out of its way to write Ish in that context. It means Ish below Isha.
I thought we're darshaning everything from a different pasuk.
It depends. There are two shitas again. There's the sheet of the original Braisa that we darsh and everything from Adam Arishon, and there's the sheet of Tanna Dabei Menashia that each one of the seven is derived individually. Now the Gemara is saying that there's another pasuk that everybody could agree is addressing a Ben Noach. And again, Arayas is derived from the word Lamar, if you remember the pasuk Vayitzav. But nevertheless, in that context, the Torah says Yazov Ish V'Dovak B'Ishto, and Yazov Ish tells me that the Torah is telling non-Jews that they have to have this clinging relationship of a husband to a wife, and you're not allowed to, and V'Dovak B'Ishto V'Lo B'Eishes Chavera, which the Gemara is going to dash in very soon, and that's the basis for the Iser Erev of Eishes Ish in the case of a Ben Noach. But since it says Ish velo Isha, so once again we have to find an answer to the question: how do we know that a female Bas Noach who had a relationship with another man other than her husband is going to be put to death? And the answer is Amalei Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda. Again, Rav Papa quoting Rav Yehuda: V'hayu lebasar echad. That the Torah went out of its way to say Vayul Basar Echad, that they become one, Hadar Irvinu Kra. The Torah now combines both Isha and Isha to one flesh, so to speak, and that's telling you that the Isha has the same status as the Ish with regard to Gilui Arayis in the case of an Isha Zimson, she's going to be put to death. So we have a special Ribui. Again, the question that has to be answered here is why then did the Torah use the word Ish here, which only confuses us? And then the Torah has a Ribi of Vayibasar Echa. So why did the Torah just say Adam? Yazov Adam es Aviv Ishto. Okay. Tanur Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, Ish. This is the opening word in the Parsha of Arayos in Vayikra Yudches. Ish, Ish, El Kol She'er Besaro Lo Sikruvu Legalos Erva. Why does the Torah use the word Ish twice in its introduction to the Parsha of Arayos in Parshas Kedoshim? And the answer is, says the Braisa, Ma tamalomer Ish Ish le rabos es hakusim. Now this is pretty fascinating because we know that the Parsha of Arayos for Kusim is derived elsewhere. Mar l'shitoso, mar l'shitoso. But now we're saying that in the Parsha of Arayos to Yisrael, the Torah added a pasuk Ish as a ribui for Kusim. Shemuzharim al Arayos be Yisrael. What's the extra limud here? V'ahocha nafka, mehasam nafka. We derive from the pasuk Lamar, if you remember, that was addressed to Adam Arishon, Zeh Gili Arayis, and we had old drasha to prove that the word Lamar, but remember that pasuk by a man who divorced his wife and she went ahead and had a relationship with another man and so forth and so on, and then he wanted to remarry her. We had a whole discussion about that yesterday. In any event, we have a parsha of Gili Arayis that is addressed to Adam Arishon, and we don't need the parsha that's addressed to Klal Yisrael in Kedoshim. So the Gemara answer is Hasam Ba'arayos Didhu. In a case where a guy had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman that was married to a non-Jewish man, that's the case of Lamar. That's the case of the pasuk that was addressing itself to Adam Arishon. Hacha, But here, in the context of arayos to bnei Yisrael, barayos di dan, we're talking about a case of a guy who has adultery with a bas Yisrael, an eishes ish, a Jewish woman who's married to a Jewish man. And I'll prove it to you. The Katani Sefer, the Sefer of this price, says, Bo al arayos Yisrael nidon bedine Yisrael. Now this phrase of nidon bedine Yisrael, that if a guy has a relationship with a bas Yisrael who's an eishes ish, she's an erva, that she's judged according to the laws of Yisrael, that's going to be the subject, exactly what that means, of the next sugya. Meaning, are we going to apply the judiciary regulations that apply to Yisrael to this situation? Meaning, we're going to require 23 judges, we're going to require 2 witnesses, and so forth and so on. Or does it mean that the punishment, the particular method of Misas Bezdin, is going to be that which is appropriate to Dine Yisrael, and we're going to shift the Misa from the Misa that applies to a Ben Noach to the Misa that applies to Yisrael? So if Ben Noach has a relationship with an Erev of Bas Yisrael, now we're going to put him to death in the way that we would put to death the Yisrael who had a relationship of an Erev with Yisrael. Amai Hilchasa, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Abba Bar, for the first opinion in the Gemara is Lo Nitzucha Ela Li Eda Vi Edim VeHasra. What it means that these are the judiciary procedural regulations that apply to a Dine Yisrael, to a Jewish court that is condemning a Jew to death, which means that we require a full Eda of 23 judges, we require 2 witnesses, we require Hasra. So the Gemara can't tolerate this. It's impossible. Nigra Gara, you're telling me that if this guy committed adultery with a Bas Noach, then we're going to put him to death with 1 judge, with 1 witness, etc., etc. But if he had an adulterous relation with a Jewish woman, a Bas Yisrael, now we're going to be less strict with him, and we're going to say, well, he's going to get off the hook. Why? Because there weren't 2 Avim. Why? Because there weren't 23 judges. The Gemara says that's impossible. We're not going to be lenient on him because he had a relationship with an Eishes Yisrael who's an Eishes Ish. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That is not the correct interpretation of this brice of Nidon Bedini Yisrael. Lo Nitzrecha Ela L'Naira Hamurasa. What's a Naira Hamurasa? The case of a Naira Hamurasa is a woman who technically, in Jewish law, because she was Mureses, she's a Bas Yisrael Mureses L'Ben Yisrael, has never consummated the marriage, and yet she's considered an Eishes Ish. That's where she has a status in Dine Yisrael of an Eishes Ish that she would not have had she been a Bas Noach, because a Bas Noach is only considered an Eishes Ish through what's called Be'ulas Baal, meaning if they consummated the relationship with a Be'ilah. Without a Be'ilah, there's no din of Eishes Ish with regard to a Ben Noach. But here we have a woman who's considered an Eishes Ish according to the laws of Dine Yisrael, but not according to the laws of Dine Ben Noach. Who, as far as Ben Noach, less lehu, she would not be included under the status of the Erev of Eishes Ish. But nevertheless, the Braisa tells us, didaimina, and it's derived from the extra word ish in the parasha of Arayas of Yisrael, didaimina lehu bedine, bedina didan. And now if the Ben Noach has a relationship with a Bas Yisrael who is a Nara Murasa, he will be condemned to death because we're going to judge him according to dina didan. Again, Michael, keep in mind that this is not practical today because how are you going to put this guy to death in a Jewish court? I mean, the whole world will kill you. But if in Mirz Hashem, when Mashiach comes, Liach Sayyamim, and all of the goyim will be judged according to halacha, that's what's going to be. If a guy has a relation with a Bas Yisrael who's a Nara Murasa, he'll be put to death. Just 1 second. I just wanted to see quickly what he adds over here in the footnote. This I didn't see. Oh, now he's going into the question of what method of execution will be implemented here.
That comes later now.
Okay, so for example, there is such a thing as skila. Okay, I'm gonna just avol eishes ish. But if the guy would have an adulterous relation with a bas Yisrael who's already consummated her marriage, she's not an arusa, but she's a full fledged eishes ish. Again, that means that there was beila. Is bedina did who dainin lahu? In such a case, are you telling me that since this erva is common to both the laws of Bnei Noach and the laws of Yisrael, then it goes back to the original position, and the judgment would be according to the Bnei Noach laws? Vasani, we have an abraisa bal naramu rasa nidom beskila. Oh, that was the footnote that we skipped. That the law of a Yisrael in a case that he had a relationship with an adulterous relationship with a Namorosi, he's put to death by stoning, Beskila. And the same thing is going to apply to a Ben Noach who has a relationship with a Naram Muras, because again, there it's Nidon Bedini Yisrael, because a Naram Muras in the laws of Bnei Noach is not considered an Eishes Ish. So now Skila applies. So Rabosai, if I were to ask you a quiz question, we've always assumed that a Ben Noach could be put to death in one of two ways. Only in one of two ways, in Saif or in Chenek. And we're going to discuss this again and again. Is there a possibility that we would put a Ben Noach to death Beskila? And the answer is yes. As weird as that sounds, here's a fluke case of a Ben Noach who has a relationship with a Bas Yisrael as a Naira Murasa, and since the law is that Nidon B'dini Yisrael, his punishment will be Skila. Al Eishes Ish, but if this woman, this Jewish woman, is already married, and therefore her status as an Eishes Ish is equal to both the laws of Ben Noach and the laws of Yisrael, is Nidon B'chenek. Again, this Brisa reflects the Shita that we saw earlier, that Adam be Adam teaches me that a Ben Noach is put to death with chenek. Ve'i bedina did who? Now, if you're telling me, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The Gemara right now is assuming at this point that we go back to the original position that the punishment for a Ben Noach when he violates one of his seven laws is saif, and therefore the Gemara asks the following question: if the Ben Noach has a relationship with a Bas Yisrael as an Eishes Ish, then since the Erev of Eishes Ish is common to both Yisrael and Ben Noach, therefore we go back to the original Nidon Bedine Ben Noach, the Ibedine Didhu Sayefu. So why is the Brisa claiming that the punishment here for this Eishes Ish is Chenek?
If you say that if he's with another Murisit, he has to get Skila, that's the way the Jews do it. The Jews do it with a Eishes Ish Bechiri. So then you supply the same idea.
No, they don't.
With Chenek, and therefore what, yes. David, just, I'm sorry, I'm not catching the logic here. So since it's Bechenek, therefore Nidon Bechenek. Ah, Nidon Bechenek. So you're saying it's Nidon Bechenek.
Because it's a Jewish law, not because it's...
Right. So the Gemara's kasha is that since the Dine Goy is Saif and not Chenek, why is the Brisa telling you that he's Nido B'dine Yisrael and he gets Chenek and not Saif? That's the Gemara's kasha. The answer is that when the Brisa says Eishes Ish, it's again talking about an Eishes Ish who's only an Eishes Ish according to the laws of Yisrael. Now, how could that be? The Brisa already mentioned Ma'orasa. So how could it be that she's an Eishes Ish, but only according to Jewish law, and not according to the laws of Ben Noach? Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kigod shenichnas halachup of lo nivola. A woman can be considered a nesua according to the laws of Israel, even though there was never a conservation of the marriage, there was never be'ila. Why? Because she was nichnas halachup. So that kinyan creates a full-fledged status of Nesua. Dilidu Leslu, but in the laws of Bnei Noach, she's not considered an Eishes Ish, because we need Ba'ulas Baal, and there was no Ba'ila, is Dainin Elohu B'dinei Didan, and therefore he's judged according to our law, and he gets Chenek instead of what? Instead of Sayif. V'tani Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara wants to show now that a woman who is nichtas al chupa is not considered an eishes ish in the laws of Bnei Noach Ba'ulas Pal Yesh Lahem. Nichtas al chupa v'lo nivla ein lahem. They're not going to be judged as an eishes ish, as a znus of eishes ish, if there was no be'ila between the husband and the wife. And that the Gemara is going to derive from the pasuk of v'dovak be'ishto. Tanya Kavasi the Rabbi Yochanan, we have a brayse that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Erva shebezdin shel Yisrael mimisin aleha ben Noach muzar aleha. Any erva that's in, this is going to be a major machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. According to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, if there's an erva listed amongst the listings of a Ben Yisrael, even though it's not what? I'm sorry. We're talking about Mimisin Aleha. So right, again, Rabbi said there are two categories of Erva. There are two basic categories of Erva with regard to Beis Din Shel Yisrael. One, it generates a Chiyuv Misa, and the other generates a Chiyuv Kares without a Chiyuv Misa. Rashi gives a whole list of Chiyuv Kares that do not generate a chiyuv misa, and the shita here of Rabbi Meir is to be mechalik. As far as Ben Noach is concerned, which arayis are included in the laws of Bnei Noach? What's considered? What defines gilui arayis for Ben Noach? And the answer is not all the arayis that apply to Yisrael, but only the first category, namely those arayis which engender a chiyuv misa. For example, a man has a relationship with his mother, he's chayav misa in Din Yisrael. But if a man has a relationship with his sister, right, or the sister of his father or his mother, the wife of his brother, the wife of his father's brother, the sister of his wife, in all those cases, he's chayav kares, and ein bezdin shel Yisrael mimisin aleha is ein ben noach muzar aleha, since a bezdin shel Yisrael cannot put a Yisrael to death for violating those arayis. Those are only chiyuvei kares, but they're not chiyuvei misa. Is a ben noach, according to Rabbi Meir, is not going to be muzar aleha. He's not okay. So right now, at this point, the word muzar aleha means there's no prohibition at all. Okay, we'll study that a little bit later in depth.
Is that because they don't have such a concept of kares?
Right, that kares was never given to a ben noach. Chachamim omrim, Chacham say harbe arayis yesha ein bezin shel Yisrael mimisin aleha uben muzar uben noach muzar alehem. In other words, all that entire list of arayis which are chiyuvei kares are given even as prohibitions to a ben noach, according to the shittas Chacham.
The Chachamim say that a Yisrael is put to death for all those.
No. What we know, that distinction here between two categories of arayas for Yisrael, one category that generates a chiyuv misa and the other is only a chiyuv kares, that's universally accepted, that's unquestionable. That's explicit in the psukim, in Kedoshim, and in Achrimos and Kedoshim.
So what are they arguing about?
But what they're arguing about, what prohibition of gilui arayas? How do we define the scope of that prohibition with regard to Ben Noach? The sheet of Rabbi Meir is very limited. Only a chiyuv misa for Yisrael, that first category, is given to a Ben Noach as an azor of gilui arayis. However, the Chachamim say that no, the whole kit and caboodle, once the Torah prohibited a certain erva to Yisrael, even though it's only a chiyuv kares, that's included on the gilui arayis for Ben Noach. And the Gemara now wants to quote a different part of the Brice that deals with Gilui Arayis and proves what Rabbi Yochanan said before with regard to Nichnas al Chupa v'lo Nivola. Ba al Arayos Yisrael Nidon Bedine Yisrael. Ba al Arayos Ben Noach Nidon Bedine Ben Noach. So what does this mean? So the Brice itself answers that question. The Anu Ein lanu ela naira hamurasa bilvad. So the Brisa says that the only case which is Nidon Bedini Yisrael, because it's a Gili Arayis of an Eishes Ish that's unique to the laws of Yisrael, and a Ben Noach is going to be therefore judged in this adultery case under the laws of Ben Yisrael. It's only a case of Nara Murasa. So the Gemara right away asks, V'nechshav Nami Nichnasa L'chupa V'lo Nivala. If Rabbi Yochanan is correct that we need Be'ulas Baal, and therefore if it's not Be'ulas Baal, then it's Nidon Bedine Yisrael, then why does the Brisa limit its discussion here to a case of Nara Murasa? Why doesn't it extend its discussion to include even the case of Nichnasa L'chupa Nivala? There also there's no Be'ulas Baal. So the Gemara answers, Hai Tana Debe Menashehu Diomar Kol Misa Amur L'Bnei Noach Eino El B'chenek. You remember that there were two approaches to what Misa we give to a Ben Noach if he violates one of the seven mitzvahs. Our opinion, which is the opinion of the Brisa, is Saif. But Tana debate Rabbi Menashe, which we had earlier, he was of the opinion of Chenek, you know, that he derived here from the pasuk of Ben Noach, of Adam B'Adam. Idi v'idi Cheneku. So therefore, when we say that Kol Misa Murul Bnei Noach Ein El B'Chenek according to Tana Dmei Menashe, then both of them are Chenek. V'sova Rabbi Meir, is it really true that Rabbi Meir holds Kol Erva Shebezdin Shel Yisrael Mimisim Oleh Ben Noach Muzar Oleh, that only an erva which in the case of Ben Yisrael generates a chiyuv misa, then Ben Noach is prohibited, but those chiyuve kares are excluded. Vasanya, and now we get up to the daf for today, and it says on daf nun chesam and alf ger shehoisa hora also shalom b'kedusha v'leidasa b'kedusha. So we're talking about now a non-Jewish woman who becomes pregnant, and at this point the conception is shalom b'kedusha, but then she, while she's pregnant, she subjects herself to, she undergoes gerus, so the later when she gives birth it's b'kedusha. So now we have a question here about the child that's born. He's born Jewish, but yet since in his conception he was shalom b'kedusha, the question is what Arayos, what relationships does he have with his non-Jewish biological brothers and sisters, etc., etc.? And the Brisa establishes here that Yeshlo She'er Ha'em, V'Einlo She'er Ha'av, that those relatives that he shares through his mother, those are considered Arayos. And we're going to have to see that this is derabbanan, because on a deraisa level here in this case, once he's a ger, his ger kikot and shenol adam. He's not, technically, he's not related to any of his relatives. He can even marry his own mother. But at least on a derabbanan level, he is prohibited from those relatives that he would be prohibited from if he were a ben noach. So that erva situation continues even after gerus. And that erva relationship,
the doraita,
right? In other words, when a ben noach is aser doraita to his relatives, that's called she'er ha'em, and the Gemara is going to derive that from sukim. Those relationships, that list of arayas which are called she'er ha'em, you know, his mother, his mother's sister, his own sister through his mother, his right maternal sister, etc., etc., etc. All those are doraisa for Ben Noach, and they continue to exist even after the Ben Noach undergoes gerus. But the ein lo she'er ha'av. But with regard to Ben Noach, there's no iser erva that's derived from or is generated by a paternal relationship through the father. And the Gemara is going to derive this later. Ha'ketzad. So now the Brisa fleshes this out. What does this mean? Nasa achoso min ha'em. Now we're talking about a maternal sister. Yotzi, he has to divorce her. So it's interesting that although the Braisa doesn't go as far as to say, I jumped the gun. Let me read the next few words. Mina of Yikayim. So it means like this, that he's not allowed to marry any of his relatives, lechatchila, even relatives through his father. And that's going to be a lechatchila halacha. But this braisa is now discussing... Midrabana, he's not allowed to get married to any of his relatives, yeah, even through his father. But let's say he went ahead and he married them. So here, there are two different categories. If he went ahead and he married his maternal sister, then Yotzi, he has to end and terminate that relationship. But if he had married his paternal sister, Mina Av, then B'dieved Yikayim, we're going to allow that marriage to continue, because even though Lechatchila we didn't want to allow such a marriage, but B'dieved the marriage is valid. Because it's only Osim Midrabbanon. But Achos Ha'av Mina Aim, if he marries his aunt from his father, from his mother, is Yotzi, he has to divorce her, because again, that's called She'er Imo. But Mina Av, if he marries his aunt, who's the sister of his father, that She'er Aviv is Yikayim. Then even though he shouldn't have married her, we're going to allow that marriage to continue. Achos Ha'em Mina Aim Yotzi. Again, we have here She'er Imo, in the case of his mother's sister, who's a half-sister, it means that she and his mother share the same grandmother, right? If share the same mother, which is his grandmother, then since it's She'er Ha'em, therefore Yotzi, he has to divorce. So, but Achos Ha'em Min Ha'av, if this is his mother's sister, only paternal sister, then that's called She'er Aviv, and therefore B'dieved Yikayim, he doesn't have to divorce. So Rabbi Meir Omer Yotzi. Rabbi Meir says that since the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, I mean to say, went a step further and they established an Isur L'chatchila, therefore they went a step even beyond that, and they said that even B'dieved, if he went and he married such a woman, he has to divorce her. Because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that you can't establish a halfway measure and say that this marriage is prohibited, but post facto we're going to recognize.
Is that all paternal relations? Because you always talk about a paternal sister, and I thought it's because it's a feminine.
Again, a paternal sister is related through his father. That's called She'er Aviv, and we're going to soon derive from Sukkim that She'er Aviv is not She'er as far as Ben Noach is concerned. The Rabbanan are going to prohibit it. Now we're going to have Machlokes Chin Rabbi Meir Chachamim. What happens if this guy is Misgayer, he converts to Judaism, we're going to prohibit him Mid Rabbanan from those Arayos, those She'er Basa that he had while he was a Ben Noach. However, the Rabbanan are going to prohibit even She'er Ha'av, and the Gemara is going to explain why. And the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chacham is, how far did the Chachamim go? Did they say that Lechatchila shouldn't marry She'er Ha'av, but if he's already married to her, we're not going to force a get? That's going to be the sheet of the Chachamim. Chachamim Omer Yikayim, even though he shouldn't have married her, but we're going to allow it because it's a relationship to a woman paternal through his father. But Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir says Yotzi. Shahoy Rabbi Meir Omer kol erva shehi mishum she'er ha'em Yotzi mishum she'er ha'av Yikayim. So what does this mean?
So why does he say that the paternal
wait a minute, one second, we missed something here. Give me a minute to work this out. Again, we said that in the case of Achos Ha'em Min Ha'av,